Welcome to the Deeper Dive Podcast, brought to you by the OC Church of Christ. The Deeper Dive Podcast is about going deeper into God's Word, learning new insights, and taking a fresh look at the verses that impact our daily lives. Today, we have the honor of hearing from Reese Neeland. Reese was an evangelist for over 35 years, serving across the U.S. in Florida, Boston, and Los Angeles. He also worked two more years for the nonprofit organization Hope Worldwide. Reese is currently the associate director for the Western U.S. for Renew Network. You can check out their website, renew.org. Reese now resides in Santa Clarita with his wife, Mary Kay. This episode is the first of a three-part series titled Learning the Art of Motivation from Jesus. Not surprisingly, Jesus is the greatest motivational leader in human history. And in this series, Reese will help us to learn from Jesus' example. All the lessons are based in the initial call of the first disciples as recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Each episode was recorded from a sermon by Reese. There are two handouts that will be referenced in this episode that you can find in the show notes. This first message is titled Making It About Jesus. So get your scuba gear and let's dive deep into God's Word. Here's Reese Neeland.
Have you ever noticed, some of you have been following Jesus or been a Christian for a while, have you ever noticed how sometimes people start out their Christian faith and their walk with in Christ, and they have a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of passion, a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, and then over a period of time that can fade. And perhaps that's even happened to you. And certainly if you've been around a while in the church and been a part of a church for a while, then you've seen that happen, and it may have happened to yourself as well. And then there's other people that no matter how many years have been, they just still seem to have the same fire, the same passion, the same faith. They have a growing faith. And, you know, then but what's the difference? Why is it that some seem to really, you know, continue and grow, and others seem to perhaps fade over time? And I don't know all the answers, but I think I actually know the most important answer. And maybe this will help you, or maybe this will help you with people that you know that might find themselves in that position. And I want to share that with you today. Look over in Mark chapter 1, and we're just going to read a couple of scriptures today. But we're going to dig in there a little bit, so I don't think you'll feel cheated as far as the Bible concerns. But there's only going to be one thing that you need to walk out and remember today that's going to help you with, you know, just continuing to be inspired and motivated about your Christian faith. One thing. And we're going to go all the way back to the beginning with Jesus. And when Jesus started his ministry, and it's in Mark chapter 1, Mark is a man who's recording this story, and he makes sort of a summary statement about the beginning stages of Jesus' ministry. And he says this in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon. Now, you may know that later on, we know him as Peter, Simon Peter. We saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now I'm going to come back and summarize. And let me just say that some of you who may have heard me preach through the years may have heard me say similar things as today, as I've said in the past, but I'm okay with that because this is such a big deal. And in this summary statement, what Jesus said three different times here, he says, is he's calling people, and the same if he would call us today, to come to the faith, to be what we call Christians. What does he say three different times? He says, follow me. And throughout the four accounts that we have of the life and ministry of Jesus, written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, dozens of times, what is the call? Jesus says, come, follow me. So you ready for your one point? You want to stay inspired? You want to stay motivated? You want to keep on growing? You want to keep on going? Make it about Jesus. Does that seem too simple to you? Make it about Jesus. Jesus made it about him. I'm glad Jesus made it about him. And think about how inspiring it was for these guys. There eventually ended up being 12 of them. We call them apostles. They were guys that Jesus specifically was with for basically 3 years, and he was with them every day, and they got to know him, and they were friends with him, and they saw him, and they spent time with him, and they learned how to preach and teach and how to have great relationships and how to be connect and be close to people. And they just learned everything, really, about what it meant to follow God and to be a Christian just from being personally with Jesus. You ever wish that you had that opportunity? How inspiring would that be? And it was so inspiring for them. You know what? A man named Luke wrote in what we call the book of Acts. He said, they went out and they turned the world upside down. With the exception of that one guy, Judas, that was a traitor. These guys spent 3 years with Jesus. And they were never the same. Even after Jesus was gone, even after he was no longer physically present, they could not help themselves. They were willing to go to prison. They were willing to die. They gave up everything. They risked everything. They never stopped believing from everything we know in the Bible and in history. You know why? Because for them, it was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. I'm going to keep talking about this. You know why? Well, there's only one point today. I mean, what else am I going to talk about? But let me go back to this scripture just a minute, because I want to make sure you understand something. You know, this, if you're reading the Bible for the first time, this little summary statement here could seem a little bit strange, because Jesus walks up on these guys. It almost looks like he walks up to these total strangers and he says, come follow me. And he sort of mesmerizes them, you know, and they just sort of drop everything. And one of them even left his dad in the boat. You know, how rude was that? And, you know, and follows him. Two of them did. But what we know from, good thing we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We actually know from John's account, chapter 1, that he actually had met these guys 9 months ago. So this wasn't their first meeting. They had a developing a relationship, and Jesus had been preparing them for a time when they would make a decision, not just to follow him, but to make a more serious decision, which was to follow him with the intention of being like him and continuing the work after he was gone. And so, and then there's a lot more to this story than just what's here. If you go over to Luke chapter 5, there's a parallel account where there was a whole thing. Some of you that are really love the Bible may have read it before, but it's pretty fascinating. It's, you know, there was, the guys were out fishing that day and they couldn't catch any fish, and Jesus shows up with a huge crowd, and, you know, the crowd's pressing him, you know, against the shore, and the guys are over there. They didn't even come to church that day. They had been out fishing, and he says, hey, you guys, you know, can I borrow your boat? Because the crowd's about to push me into the water here. And they go, sure, yeah, you know, they were friends. He says, yeah, you know, and they rowed out from the shore, and Jesus finished his sermon out because none of them could walk on water. That's a little bit of a spoiler alert for something that happens later on. But anyway, so later on after he finished his sermon, he said, hey, you know, guys, how'd you guys do fishing last night? Oh, not so good. He goes, well, you know, why don't we go out and try again? And, you know, if you know the whole story, and then there was this big catch of fish, and Peter's, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And, you know, there's a whole story about this day. But, you know, Mark, he just, look at how he summarized that. You know, it seems to me that Mark must have been married, because he's like a lot of husbands. He just gives the fewest details that are possible, right? At least that's what my wife tells me all the time. You know, I just give the, she always wants more details. I don't know if the other women are like that. But anyway, but he just cuts right to the chase. But the good thing that's helpful about summary statements is, and maybe that's even the reason Mark wrote it this way, because then you don't miss the main point. The main point is, and he says it three times here, from the beginning, Jesus said, come follow me. Make it about me. And when you're the Son of God, it's okay to make it about you. Now, the problem we have, you already know what I'm going to say, right? We like to make it about us. Who's the guy? Who's that country singer? It just popped into my head. Who was the country music singer that wrote that song and said, sometimes I like to make it about me? Yeah, it's a Toby Keith song. See, I lost 90% of my audience, but thank you for whoever said that. We like to make it about us. But it's got to be about Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Are you ready to get down and dirty here? Let me speak to some of you that I know there's people in here who have been a part of our church, our fellowship of churches for a long time. Decades, maybe even. Sometimes we start with Jesus. But along the way, we get distracted. And we get detoured. And it becomes about something else. And sometimes it becomes about the church. Can we be honest here? And I've been one of the church leaders, some of you know this, here in Los Angeles at least, for a long time. And, you know, at different times I'm sort of proud of that. And other times I'm filled with shame, because we made a lot of mistakes. And one of the mistakes that we made along the way, that we all made together, leaders, in the early days of the Los Angeles church, is we made it about the church. We did. We led the church to make it about the church instead of making it about Jesus the way it needed to be. Because, see, there's a problem when you make it about the church. You know what the problem is? Yes, the problem is the church is made up of people like me and you. The church is destined to disappoint. I'm not saying the church is not God's plan. And I'm not saying it's not a great plan. And I'm not saying it's not a perfect plan. But it's not going to be a perfect place. And it's not going to be filled with perfect people. You ever been to a bad church service? Let me tell you, I've been to bad church services. You ever heard a bad sermon? The sermon was too long, or it was confusing, or it was boring, or even worse, it was all three. I heard a lot of bad sermons, and that's just the sermons I preached. Right? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's so sweet. So sweet. No, but I mean, people leave. And, you know, I've been around a long time. People leave. You know what? Almost everybody who leaves, leaves because of the church. And they may or may not have a good reason to leave. I'm not saying there's never a reason to leave a church. But a lot of times, it's because we haven't made it about Jesus. And the reason we're no longer inspired and motivated is because we're too focused on this. This. I don't know if you know, but my wiggling fingers are pointing you. It's encompassing you. It's this. Okay? We made it about the church instead of about Jesus. You know what else we made a mistake doing? I'm just speaking to those of you who, if you can't relate to this, that's okay. But those of us who were part of the LA church for a long time, I hope I'm not being too honest here. We made it not just about the church, but about the church leaders. And what happens when the church leaders disappoint? I've been disappointed a lot. I've been disappointed myself. There's definitely things I would do differently. If I could go back and change the last 30-something years. But it's not just me I'm disappointed in. A lot of people I worked with. A lot of people who were my leaders. A lot of people who were I partnered with. Here's the bottom line. I hope you'll join me today if you're not there yet. And if you need to recognize where you've gone off and made some mistakes, then that's what we're here for today. Saved by grace. I'm sure you're as excited as I am to be saved by grace. I was praying on the way over here, like I said. I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I appreciate grace. I'm saying, God, you know, I'm praying every day, God, you know, so happy that I can be saved by grace. Because I see so much, the older I get and the more I see things clearly, and I'm not saying I see things clearly now the way I need to, but, you know, you see more. I go, oh, so glad I could be saved by grace. Because if it wasn't for grace, I got no business standing up here. I got no business standing up here sharing the Bible with you. If it wasn't for grace. Okay, so let me move on because we do have one more scripture. But here's the thing. I just want to make sure that we get this. I love the church, but I don't worship the church. I worship Jesus. I love the leaders in the church. But I don't worship the leaders in the church. I worship Jesus. And it may sound too simple to be true, but it's profound. The main difference, I believe, in the people who continue to thrive in their faith is that they are the people who, as the years pass, not just maintain, but they keep pursuing Jesus. Look over in Philippians 3. This is written by this well-known Christian missionary, well-known in Christian circles, named Paul. You may or may not have heard of him. But he's writing this 30 years later than what we just read, after the time of Jesus. He's written it 30 years later than Jesus walked on the earth. Now, here's the interesting thing about Paul that you may or may not know. Paul was this great Christian missionary, and I wrote down some of these things, that during his time, he was actually baptized into Christ and started following Jesus after Jesus had already left the earth. And that during these 30 years, we know of, he started over 20 churches that we know of. And he wrote 13 letters, one of these is Philippians, to the church in Philippi, that we include in our New Testament when we're trying to learn about. We believe they were inspired by God. And all this, and we regard Paul, many of us do, who've studied him and got to know him, as one of the most inspiring and motivated and greatest Christian leaders. But here's the thing that you might not know. Maybe you already figured it out. Paul never met Jesus in the physical sense. He wasn't one of those guys that walked with Jesus during those 3 years that he was here that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Paul is just like us in that he never had the opportunity to rub shoulders and do life with Jesus, yet he became who he was. And that encourages me, because then I go, well, if it was possible for Paul, who never personally in a truly physical sense knew or met Jesus, then it must be possible for me. But how was it like that with Paul? So here is, you get a glimpse, and I think it just makes the point. It makes the point so clear, the one point that I've already shared with you. Because Paul writes this in Philippians 3, verse 7. Now just, again, you may have read this many times, but consider the context of what I just told you about who Paul was, and it's 30 years later, and he's already done so much, right? And he's near the end of his life. He's probably, from what we know, he's going to probably live about 3 or 4 more years before he goes on to be with Jesus personally and be with the Lord. Verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Do you see how graphic and profound that is? He says, whatever good in my life, before I became a Christian, and just same way since I became a Christian, he says, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that's driving me. And if you put it in today's context of this sermon, I'm making it about Jesus. I just want to know Jesus. Isn't that what he's saying? He says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain from the resurrection from the dead. Paul never physically had the opportunity to know Jesus. But you know, we know a little bit about Paul's history. And so we know that during the early, he was converted right after Jesus, shortly after Jesus left, not that long after. And he got to know the other Peter, James, John, the other guys. They were all contemporaries. You know what I you know, we don't know all that, we know some of their conversations and all that, but you know what I picture him doing? Is he would get with them, he'd sit down with them, and he'd say, You knew Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me the stories about Jesus. Tell me who he was. Tell me how he lived. Tell me everything you know about Jesus. Don't be like, I don't want to ask Mark because he just gives summary statements. I want to know details. And then when those gospels started coming out, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you may not know this, but these were not, these documents were not actually formed and produced until maybe Mark was the first one that came out in its official sort of form about the time this was written. But there was these, I don't want to get too technical with the academics, but there was these little stories, they're called pericopes, but there was these little stories that were written and oral traditions that were passed around. There were stories that went around that spread through the Christian faith because they didn't have the gospels. All these people, think about that. All these people that were converted in the first century, and many of them, thousands of them, were willing to die. And you think about the Romans and the gladiators and, you know, all these people that were willing to go to their death. They never met physically, most of them, Jesus either. But they heard the stories, and they knew, and they made it about Jesus. And that's why when the Romans said, hey, you don't say Jesus is Lord. You say Caesar is Lord or you die. And they said, no, that is one thing we cannot do. Because Jesus is my Lord. But these stories were floating around. And I just picture Paul everywhere he went. And you know, there were Jews and there were people who traveled and there were early Christians, and I just pictured Paul everywhere he went going, did you know Jesus? Have you heard any stories about Jesus? And the people start telling the story. Oh, you know, I've heard that one, but tell it to me again. Some people say, well, you know, I'm so tired of the Bible. I've read it so many times. And I keep reading the same stories over and over again. How sad is that? Because I got to tell you this. Like these two scriptures today, Mark 1 and Philippians 3, how many times have I read those scriptures? But you know what? Even recently, if you just apply yourself and pray, you start to see new things. You see things you didn't see before. Your life can still be changed. And your heart, and the eyes of your heart can be opened to see things, to see truth, and to see truth about Jesus that you never saw before. So don't you neglect your Bible study. Don't you neglect Jesus. Make it about Jesus. So I've left you a handout today, but I sent these for you because, to me, I want to be like Paul. I want to be this person. So on one page of this is something I wrote. I wrote this on Easter of 2015. The title of it, I'm not going to read it to you. It's Why I'm Still Following Jesus. And I wrote it on April 12th of 2015. It's just something I wrote down to try to make it personal about why I am still following Jesus. So all I'm reading is an example for you. Perhaps you want to spend some time and write out some things for yourself or for your prayer times or for your times of communion with Jesus about why you're still following Jesus. Okay? Just an example for you. On the back is a very practical thing. It says, suggestions for knowing Jesus better. This is stuff that I put together through the years. It first starts out with some suggestions about how I study the Gospels in order to get some deeper understanding of who Jesus was, and not just, you know how sometimes you just read a story and just read it and you go, I didn't get anything out of that. But if there's some specific questions that you ask yourself, sometimes you can go deeper and get things, see things that you didn't see before. You know? So then I also have a list of my favorite authors and preachers. about Jesus. They may not be your favorite authors and preachers, but I search for people that inspire me when they talk about Jesus. But here's the lesson, see, and this is just me. You can write your own list. But I want to be like Paul. I want to be this person who is searching, combing the universe, looking for ways that I can make it about Jesus. Because you know what? I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I'm 68 years old. My wife tells me, don't ever tell people that. Because when you tell them that, they don't listen to you anymore. But I'm mostly retired. You know, I'm still active in some ways, but, you know, I'm not a paid church leader anymore. But you know what? I'm not interested in fading out. I may not be a paid church leader anymore. I'm not interested in fading out. I'm interested in flaming out. Right? I'm interested in doing what Paul did and so many others. I'm interested in the fire. And there may be many things, but the one thing I know for sure is that we need to make it about Jesus. In John 12, verse 33, Jesus said, when I am lifted up. Again, Jesus talking about himself. Not when the church is lifted up, not when the leaders are lifted up, not when you lift yourself up. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Because Jesus is the one who inspires and motivates. And Jesus is the one who saves our soul. And Jesus is the one who changes our lives.
Thank you, Reese. Reminder, the handouts that were referenced are in the show notes. Again, this episode is part one of a three-part series. Our next episode will be Made to Make a Difference. If you want to get connected to us or want to donate to the program, go to our website, OCChurchOfChrist.com, or through social media at the OC Church. Join us next time for part two of Learning the Art of Motivation from Jesus. Oh.